I want to go now to the to the Mishnah Tinus. I don't know how much time we've got, but let me start. I was going to do this at the end, but I'll do the Gematria first to show where we are going wrong in the 3 weeks. It's significant that Zechariah Hanovi says that there will be a Tzoim HaRevi'i, a Tzoim HaChamishi, a Tzoim HaShevi'i, and a Tzoim HaAsiri. The fourth month is Tammuz, the fifth month is Tisha B'Av, the seventh month is Gitan Gedalia, and the tenth month is Teves. These are the four fasts which relate to the Churban. There are other fasts like Tanis Bechor and Tanis Esther, Yom Kippur. They've got nothing to do with the Churban. These four, Chazal were Mesakin for the Churban. If we can put our life in order, we will have the tikkun will be shalom. As Zechariah says, at the time of the Beis Bayis Sheni, when Klal Yisrael were behaving themselves at the Beis Hamikdash, there was man shalom. There were time for parties, there was time for delight. But when Chas v'Shalom, the Adem Tekifo, when the Goyim got the power, as a machlokas, whether it means when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, or whether the Klal Yisrael lost the melucha, lost the power, whatever it is, they became days of tragedy. As a gematria, again, if I read this from Ramot Chatotash, if you take the numbers, the fourth month and the fifth month, that gives you 4 and 5 is 9, and the seventh month, which gives you 7, which is 16, and the tenth month gives you 10, that's again 26. The four fasts taken in the months together, telling you, Beremes, that these are 26. You've got to get the message through that we need Hashem in order to counterbalance the combination of these 4 months. But it goes further than that. If we take the day in the month when the Tainus took place, when we take it, the Yud Zayin B'Tammuz was the second Beis Hamikdash, and the first Beis Hamikdash was earlier, probably the 12th. But we know that we have the fast on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, which was at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. And Tisha B'Av was definitely on both Beis Hamikdash, says the Mishnah, on the 9th. So 17 and 9 is 26 again. Then we have Tzom Gedalia, which should have been on Rosh Hashanah, but we can't make a fast on Rosh Hashanah, so they pushed it off to the first available date, which was the 3rd. So 26 and 3 is 29. Finally, we have Asara B'Tevis, which is the day when they put the siege to the Beis Hamikdash, to Yerushalayim. 29 and 10 is 39, which is Hashem Echad. So whichever way you look at it, there are multiples of the number 13, which is a specially Jewish holy number. Eliyahu HaNavi is 52, which is 4 times 13, twice the Shema Vaya. All these is not without significance. It's as if to tell us what's gone wrong on these four fasts is the absence of the belief in Hashem. That's the first cardinal feature. We've got to get that right. The complete belief in Hashem, just like Rabbi Chiya Uvonov, just like we start the Shemayin Esra. Once we can accept the Oil Malchus Shemayin Vashem Echad, we're on the way to dealing with the problems of the Churban. Now, if you look at why the Churban occurred, I found 11 different reasons mentioned in Shas. 11, by the way, is also a number, and very number, wherever the number 11 occurs, is tragedy around. And that's why we have two numbers, Achad Osar and Ashti Osar. I think I may have mentioned this previously. Well, you'll find in the beginning of Dvarim, it says, Vahiba Ashti Osar Chodesh, Achad Osar Yom Mechorev. Now what's going on here? And the 11th month is Ashti Osar, and then Achad Osar Yom Mechorev is a different word altogether. And what's going on here? Well, the answer is, and this is my own idea, that Achad Osar is one out. You've got a minion is the perfect number. If you're one out of the perfect number, you're gone askew. That's why the Ketores has 11 ingredients, one of which it doesn't fit. The Chelbana was a foul smell, but if you bring it in with the other 10, you can put it right. Same thing you find the Achadosa Koichvayo, the 11 stars, which happened with Yosef HaTzadik. He had in his 11 brothers, they were they didn't get on as they should, and therefore there was a Kitrug, and they were called, they said Achadosa Anachnu, we are 11. However, not every 11 is automatically bad. I mean, if you're the 11th child of a family, it doesn't mean to say you're automatically bad, or your 11th month of the year, it doesn't make Shvat automatically bad. What it means is part of a series. So they changed the word from achadoso, when it's part of a series and not intrinsically bound, to ashte. Now, what's ashte? The Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Nasadi Gaon as saying it means the number which is reaching 12, ad shteim esrei. The Ibn Ezra himself disagrees with the pshat, because he said it should have been ashnei also, because it's the masculine. However, although he disagrees and gives a different pshat, it is nothing wrong in having a feminine instead of a masculine. It's quite normal procedure when you're going to Hebraicize a word and incorporate it to use something similar. It doesn't have to be identical. And clearly the Rabbi Nasadi Gaon accepts that this is a valid usage of the word, and therefore he says it's the word which reaches ad shteimashet, the word which reaches 12. The word which reaches 12 means it's part of a sequence, there's nothing special about it. So whenever you have the names of the Nesi'im, you'll find it says Vahiba Ashtei Asar Yom, because that's referring to a list of Nesi'im. Just because you're the 11th Nasi doesn't make you automatically bad. What I'm saying is, if you have the number 11, it does tell you something. And that's why, for example, Zochreinu L'chaim, the Chayodim says there are 11 words in Zochreinu L'chaim, because that, and then the Baratum also mentioned, that's the Mispar HaTeshuvah. That's why we have 11 words, because you have to do teshuvah, something is not as it should be. So these 11 reasons that I found in Shas. We haven't got time to go through all of them, but the question is, why do we need so many different reasons? We know that the basic reason given in Yoma is because of Sinas Chinom, and yet in Bob and Matsir you've learned in Daf Lamed Amud Beis previously, it was because they didn't go lifnei Mishur Sadin, Mishnei Shaloh Hamindu Aldin. They insisted upon their rights. They wouldn't go lifnim mishuras hadin, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let them wouldn't let them keep the Beis HaMikdash. In the Dorim, the Gemara gives a different reason. It says in the Yirmiyah, "I'm more of Doritz." They didn't make a bracha. So, what are all these different reasons all about? We can't go through them all, but the truth of the matter is, you will find that all these reasons lead to the same conclusion. The Gemara in the Dorim, which Yirmiyah said, they didn't make a bracha on the third Tehillah, means that whatever they did, they should have had a Kodesh Baruch Hu first in their minds. That's the point. Unless you've got the Shem of a Kodesh Baruch Hu firmly entrenched, nothing else will work as it should. So that's the cardinal thing, is to believe in Hashem. However, you'll find many of the things which happen with Ben Adam Lechavero. They go together. There is a combination of, one on the one hand, of complete belief in Hashem and the mitzvahs Ben Adam Lamoko. On the other hand, you also find that the actual churban occurs because of Ben Adam Lechavero. Now, that's why, for example, they wouldn't go lifnim mishur asadin. That's a matter between people. So, which is it? The answer is it's both. Now let's now look at the Mishnah in Tainus. I'm going to prove it to you. The Mishnah in Tainus tells us, Chamisho devorim, Yeros avasei nebishivosu betamuzah, Chamisho betisha b'av. Five things happened on Shivosu betamuz, and five things happened on Tisha b'av. Then the Gemara says the reasons. I'll do them very quickly. On Shivosu betamuz nishtabu aluchus, there was an eagle and the luchus were broken. Batal atomid. Hufka ha'ir, the walls were split to Yerushalayim. Sorof apostamus is a Torah. Apostamus burnt the Torah. V'umad tzelem b'heichol, and there was a tzelem in heichol. Now there's a lot of machlokus as exactly when the Talmud was bottled and which Torah he did. I haven't got time to go into that now, but it's well worth looking at. It did happen. What exactly it was is a machlokus, whether the time of Menashe, time of the Churban, fine. But there are five things which happened. And then it says five things happened on Tisha B'av. Migzal essentially consul Oretz. It was a Meraglim, and they had the decree that all die in the wilderness. Chorav Avais Bereshona B'shnia. Two Bati Migdash were destroyed. That's three things so far. Nilkadot Beitar. Again, after the Churban, the Klal Yisrael set up outside Yerushalayim. They weren't allowed back in Yerushalayim, but the Romans wouldn't allow it because they thought they might revolt again. So they set up a subsidiary Mokum Torah and a Mokum for the Klal Yisrael to regroup. That was in Beitar, but 51 years later, they were destroyed completely. It was captured. And the whole of Yerushalayim was razed to the ground, completely flattened. Right. That's the Mishnah. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, min yama asa lemiyati mai. What's the Mishnah tell us, the number for wherever you have a number, like the beginning of your homes, Hamesha say nothing, purchase to the same. The Mishnah says, min yama lemiyati mai. What's the meaning for? Can't you count? I can count up to five. I don't need to be told it. So why is the Mishnah telling us five things happened? Secondly, this is the most unusual Mishnah. Mishnahs are not like Gemara. Mishnahs don't contain Agadita. Mishnahs tell you halachas. That's Mishnah, a simple psak halacha. The Gemara brings Agada and tells us Maisim and tells us all sorts of Musa from that. But the Mishnah tells you halacha psukha. All of a sudden the Mishnah seems to want to tell us stories. Most unusually, telling us what happened on these days. Now, do you think it was only these five things which happened? I'm sure many other things must have happened. Why does the Mishnah hone in on these five things and make an issue of teaching us this number five and teaching us what they are? Then, having finished that, the Mishnah continues to tell us what happened in Chamish Asar B'Av and Yom Kippur. There were no happier days in Chamish Asar B'Av and Yom Kippur. The simple explanation is he wanted to finish off on a nice note with Simcha. We didn't want to end up with Avelis. After all, you're a chiyuv to finish, you're not allowed to finish with Dovah Ra. So therefore it finishes off with Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Mehir of Yamein. Well, that's fine. But there's a long arichus in the Mishnah all about what happened on Chamish Asar B'Av and how wonderful it was. And then the Gemara goes and gives about eight more reasons as to why Chamish Asar B'Av was such a wonderful day. This Mishnah, Omer Dorsheni, it says it means an explanation to what's going on. Of course we can translate it very simply, but we need to know what's behind the Mishnah. It occurred to me the following: whenever you have a number that is a significance to that number, if it's halachic, it might be to exclude something else. Here it's not coming to exclude anything. It's not coming this to tell us anything other than the number itself has tremendous significance. The number five is the Jewish number. It's the number which creates belief in Hashem. We were all born with five fingers on each hand, five toes. It's the proof against evolution. It's more or less impossible for the world to have evolved with everybody having the same number of fingers, unless we all came from one Adam or Rishon. And it therefore more or less proves that we are from Hashem. And we've got to believe in Hashem. Secondly, the Aseres HaDibros were brought divided into two lots of five for the same reason. Moreover, it's well known from the Maharal and others that the number five is the particularly Jewish number. Every number has a significance, but the number five is our number. Why? Because we're in the center of all numbers, between 1 to 10. Number five is the central number from 1 to 9. There's four numbers on each side of it, right in the center, but at the same time, it is got no chavrusa. It's by itself. If you want to make up 10, any other number, you'll take a separate number to make it up. 1 and 9, 2 and 8, 3 and 7, 4 and 6. 5, the only number 5 we'll make 10 with is its own 5. And Rabbi Lef once encapsulated this beautifully in the expression, a yid muzayn, insulated but not isolated. We're like an electric light bulb. The light has to be in the center of the room to give its light. That's what a yid must do. Must give out our light to the goyim, to the yid, and to everybody. But be careful to insulate the wires which lead to it, otherwise you'll have a fire and the light will go out. It'll just be finished. A yid has to be in the center of all things going on and a beacon of light to everybody, but at the same time we have to be protected. We don't allow bishul akum. We don't have chasnul akum. We have all sorts of protections so we don't get influenced by the saviva around us. The person who knew this message better than anybody else in history was Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, he was the most powerful person in history in Golos. And in Golos he had the most provocation and the most possibility of going astray until he saw the Demus Diukneh Shel Oviv. He saw the picture of his father, he had it in his mind, and he realized, I'm Jewish, I can't do what he's going to do, and therefore he took protection against it. You'll find in Miketz, whatever Yosef did, he did in components of five. to remind himself the whole time. He gave 5 Khalifa Smolas to Binyamin, he gave Chamesh Yodos, he did Chimesh Esa'aretz, he divided the land, he gave 20% to the Kohen. Whatever Yosef did, it's always 5. Because he knew the message of this wonderful number 5, which a Yid has to have in Golas in particular. Now, Kozman, that the Yid uses that number 5 correctly, it'll come and protect him. But as soon as you reject the message and lose it, it'll come to attack. And that's why in the Mishnah, it tells us there were 5 things happened. These 5 things weren't just spam 5. These were 5 things because the clothes thread had lost the message of what we stand for. Now, you find the same thing with the Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis will protect us absolutely if we'll just learn its message. For example, the very first time the whole of the Aleph Beis occurs in one posuk in Chumash is in B'shalach Tez Zayin, posuk Tez Zayin, talking about the Mon, as if to say, you behave yourself, Klal Yisrael, and you'll have whatever you want. The Mon will come and protect you. The whole of the Aleph Beis will be there on your side. However, you get it wrong, and then the Aleph Beis comes in Echo, the first 4 chapters of Echo, all written Derech Aleph Beis to punish Klal Yisrael. All the Aleph Beis is there to take, not to take revenge, but to guide Klal Yisrael back to where we should be, and we get all the problems of Echo if we don't get it right. So the Aleph Beis is on our side. It will look after us if we look after it. It'll be against it otherwise. The same thing with the 5 here in the Mishnah. Now, if you look at the 5 things now, what the Mishnah, with that message in mind, this is what the Mishnah is giving us, you'll find that all 5 things in the first part, which is talking about Shemos of Tammuz, are all Ben Odom Lamokim. It's talking about burning the Sefer Torah. It's talking about Avodah Zorah in the Heichal. It's talking about the Egel. It's talking about the Bittul of the Talmud. There's nothing there which is Ben Odom Lachavero. The Luchas was smashed. Yes, fine. But that's Ben Odom Lamokim. As if to tell us that Shavuot Batamas is coming along to teach us you've got the Ben Odom Lamokim wrong. And if you get the Ben Odom Lamokim wrong, you're in for trouble. However, the trouble is not yet final. It's a preliminary warning. You don't believe in Hashem, things are going to go wrong. It's got to be. 3 weeks later, you'll have a Tisha B'Av. What happened on Tisha B'Av? Look at Tisha B'Av. Everything is Ben Adam Lachavero. Everything is our personal possessions. The Churban Beis Hamikdash was the destruction of the nationality of Klal Yisrael. Both times. Beis Har is also Klal Yisrael's stronghold. The last place that, in Eretz Yisrael which they had before they were scattered by the Romans was in Beit Har, destroyed. Nechrashoir, the last vestige of any personal possession in Yerushalayim, flattened. Where did it all start from? From the Meraglim, when Klal Yisrael were fighting with each other. They wanted to kill Yoshua and Kolib. The Machlokas, then you deserve annihilation. But what it's telling us is, there's 2 stages. There's a stage of Ben Odom Lamokom. If you get that wrong, your defenses are down, and then you're ready for the chop. And the only way you can avoid that chop is to go back and believe in Hashem. Get back to Hashem. And then, automatically, the Ben Odom Lachavero will take effect. Let me just give you a practical example of why this works that way. I like talking about cars. Somebody, you park your car, and all of a sudden somebody smashes into the back of it. Now, there's 2 ways of dealing with this. You can turn around to the fellow and say, you meshugana, you idiot, how dare you drive like that? I'm going to put you in jail. I'm going to get road rage. I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do that to you, and then you don't deserve, I'm going to call, and every colour under the sun. That's one way of handling it, which I'm afraid, unfortunately, is probably the gut reaction of the majority of the world. There's another way of handling it. Oh, you must be the shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam to teach me a lesson. I deserve that my car should get a bit damaged. Probably I didn't drive last week or yesterday with sufficient caution. Maybe I should have been more careful myself how I was driving my car. Maybe I cut in some more when I shouldn't. Maybe I double parked. Maybe I wasn't using the car quite properly. You know something? I thank you for teaching me this lesson. You're a shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's true you're going to have to pay. And the fact, Megal Glin Chayv Aladei Chayav, and you shouldn't have done it, and you must be guilty, because otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have chosen a different shliach to do it. And you'll have to pay me, and I'm entitled to my money, and I'll take you to the best inn if you don't pay. But, you know, really, what you've done me a big favor. Now, how are you going to get to which way are you going to? If you believe in Hashem, then the second way is cinch. That's how you're going to do it. If you don't believe in Hashem, then the first way is going to be automatic. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Believe in Hashem, and then you'll have a Ben Aron HaChaver. You will go Lifnim Mishur HaSatin. You will have all the things which the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, which caused the Churban to be able to overcome them. All these different things which the Gemara mentions, some of them are Ben Adam Lamakim, like Levin Bechal Shabbos, not saying Krishna. But most of them in Shabbos are talking about things Ben Adam Lachaveh. They didn't have proper respect to Talmid Chachomim. They didn't realize that there's a difference between a senior person and a junior person. All these things which are mentioned in Shabbos are all because you didn't get the cardinal point. You missed the point. You've got to realize there's a Yud Kei Vav Kei, there's a belief in Hashem. If you believe in Hashem, then all the rest follows suit. Now that's the message that I believe that this Mishnah is telling us. It starts off by telling us that Ben Adam Lamakom was flattened. All these different things happened. But Ben Adam Machaveiro was still in existence. My father, Zichron Lebracha, used to be very fond of saying the following Dvar Torah. I think something similar in the Kli Yakar. He says as follows. The Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Luchos down, Vayashlech mi Yadov, he threw them down from his hands. If you look at the Pasuk, the Yadov is a Kri and a Ksiv. The Ksiv is Yado, the Kri is Yadov. My father said the following. When Moshe came down, he saw Klal Yisrael all enjoying, dancing around together, very friendly. So he thought, I'm only going to throw away the Ben Adam Lamakom Luach. Because, right, the Vosh Ravod Azor, Lo Yiyo Lecho, Anochi Hashem, I have to throw that one down. But the other one, they've kept it. Why should I throw the other one down? Then Moshe said, but as soon as they've thrown the first one down, and they're no longer believing in Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Avodah Zarah, the consequence will automatically be Nechavah and Nechavah will go. Then Yodov, he threw from the second hand as well. For an instant he thought he'd only throw one, that's the Yodov, but then he changed and he threw Yodov, because one leads to the other. Same thing in the case of Noach, what's the passage saying in the beginning of Noach? The first passage in Noach. Something like that. Vatishok is at the beginning of it's chapter, it's the second pasuk of Noach. First of all, once they didn't keep the Ben Adam Lamakom, the rest went with it. That now leads us to the final part of the Mishnah. The final part of the Mishnah talks about Chamisha Asabav. All the things which happened at Chamisha Asabav relate to being friendly with one's friends, believing in Hashem, and therefore not wanting to hurt anybody else's feelings. So that when they went out on Chamisha Asabav, they went out with kelim which weren't theirs. They were shared. They didn't have any gaiva, because if you believe in Hashem, your gaiva automatically goes. It says, "Kamar Hashem Oretz Adom Rag Hashemayim Kisiv Oretz Adom Raglo." HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in heaven and he puts his feet on earth. However, if a person is a bal gaiva, it's kilu beichet ragli ashkena. God doesn't want to know. A bal gaiva doesn't have any belief that in humility, he believes he's more important. So automatically all these other things happen. As soon as a person is humble, that means he brings Hashem into his equation, and then all the other milers will come, all the Ben Adam Lachaveh will automatically follow. All the things which happened, which I mentioned, which happened on Chamish Asabav, all the things represent a Klal Yisrael coming to Achdus. And that's the same as this Gemara here, with Rabbi Chiya and his two sons. Their achdus, their belief in Hashem, led to a complete achdus between them. Just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they had different midas, but when they worked together, then Mashiach is guaranteed. So and that is also why the 15th of Av is on the 15th, because it's 3 times 5 again. The message of 5 is taken. 3 is chizuk. You've taken the message of 5 b'chizuk properly. And that's why 15 is the happiest number, because it is this understanding of the principle of the 3 times 5, which means that a yid has to be completely given over to the worship and service of Hashem, and by doing that he will keep himself together with other yidden, but he will know that his tachlis in life is to help other people, is to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do, which is to do the mitzvahs, and both Ben Adam Lachem and Ben Adam Lachavero, they go together. And then, if you have that message, after believing in the unity of Hashem, and we then move to Lifnim Mishras Adin, and the removal of all sinas chinam, because there's no need to get angry or hate anybody else, because we're all servants of Hashem. I believe that that's the message of this particular Agadita, and the message of the Mishnah in Tainis, which is teaching us that first, get clear in our minds that is the Rabbeinu Shalom is in the ruling of the world. That's why it starts Shemoneh Esrei with the Chotvav, the 26th Shemus in Shemoneh Esrei, teaching us regularly. You're supposed to have special kavana every time you come to the name of Hashem in the Shemoneh Esrei, because once you've accepted the Ol Malchus Shomayim, Moshe Hashem Echad in Krishna, we accept Ol Malchus Shomayim, automatically we negate oneself. If you look at the Sefer Talmud, Devorah, he points out that they go together. Belief in the Achdus of Hashem creates an anova. The main human emotion is the movement, is that the characteristic of humility. Once you've got that anova, then automatically all the other things sprout from it. You'll then realize you're not so important, you'll look after other people, you'll be prepared to lifnim mishuras hadin, and you'll do all the things which create the achlus and klal yisrael, will remove the sinas chinam, and we'll have the Beis HaMikdash.